Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare them on eagle's wings and brought you unto them, unto myself. And then if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 32, hold your finger in Exodus and turn over to Deuteronomy 32, the fifth book in the Bible. Verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine, milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Father, we pray tonight as we think about these passages and your description of what you did for your people, that we could use this descriptive visual aids to help us realize how you deal with us and how you want to deal with us in the future. Lord, speak to us tonight through these passages, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to get a little bit of an idea where we are here now, Israel has been delivered out of Egypt en masse. Over 6 million people walked out of that nation in one night. Remember, they were backed up to the Red Sea. We talked about this Sunday morning. They were trapped in kind of like a box canyon. No way to go except forward or back into the sea. And God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God parted the waters. They walked through those waters. And then the Egyptians chasing them were drowned. And then every single one of them lost their lives. And their dead bodies rolled up on the next morning. And they saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians. So that's where we're at. And now God is reminding them that he delivered them. And he bare them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. Now, notice that phrase. He says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I brought you unto myself. That's an important phrase because, you know, everything God does for us and to us is for one reason. And that's to bring us to himself. God wants us to know him. And that's the whole process of life as a Christian, is getting to know God better. In fact, a lot of people have written Bible studies called, you know, knowing God. Well, God wants you to know him. And one of the ways he teaches us, he likens it unto eagles. And let's just remind ourselves of what we're talking about here. Let's just use the golden eagle, for example, because it is the biggest eagle I think there is. Golden eagle's wingspan averages over 7 feet and has reached even 8 feet. They've measured some that were 8 feet. Now, I'm about 6 foot, so 2 feet above my head is the wingspan of a golden eagle. And they have weighed golden eagles out to as much as 40 pounds. They have enormous claws with tremendous strength, and they have eyesight that's unbelievable. I don't know what it is, how they calculated, but what is it?
Well, we just, you know, we saw eagles there.
Yeah.
A couple days ago. Yeah, like 40 times.
40 times what we can see?
Amazing.
40 times. All right, so just remember, keep all this in mind as we talk about this. Wingspread of 8 feet, up to 40 pounds, tremendous strength, phenomenal speed. And they are the fighter jets of the air, so to speak. They are the acrobats in the air. They can do amazing things. In fact, turn to Proverbs 30. We didn't read that one. Let's turn that one. Proverbs 30. Verse 18 and 19. Proverbs 30, verses 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Just going to read the first one. The way of an eagle in the air. the way of an eagle in the air. I have I'm sure most of you have driven to the lakes or different places and watched eagles. Where I live, I see hawks all the time, year round. But in the summertime, after they're mating and then after they have their young and so forth, we see them all the time. And they're amazing creatures. And once in a while we see them doing some just playing in the air. And they are just majestic. And the things they can do are amazing. How they can turn on a dime, they can turn totally upside down, flip around in the air. I mean, and that's one reason they can dive down and catch another bird right in the air, no problem at all, and take them off. But they're amazing creatures, and God likens his care for us as an eagle caring for her chicks. Especially we notice that in Deuteronomy 30. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 32. That's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, this afternoon, or this evening. 32, verse 11 and following. The picture here is of an eagle building the nest. I'm getting the right book here. Excuse me. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over young, and so forth. Eagles build nests in very unique places. If they have their choice, and most of them do, most of them will build their nests on some high cliff overlooking a huge valley. And the reason they do that, of course, is because it's very hard for anything else to get to where they are. And so they'll build their nests. They'll carefully choose where they make their nest. And they'll take great pains in making this nest just like they want it. Which reminds us that God takes great pains in preparing life for us after we're Christians. He takes great pains in preparing everything that we need. And a lot of times as we look back over our own history, we sometimes, you know, ask or think, you know, why did God make me go through this, or why did this happen to me, and so forth. But don't ever become a victim as a Christian. Realize that God, everything you've gone through has been for a purpose. I know some people are saved later in life, real late in life, and they say to themselves, why wasn't I saved when I was young so I could grow up and know the Lord when I was really young instead of having to get all that bad garbage and baggage that I developed over the years before I became a Christian. And after I became a Christian, I had to get rid of all that stuff and took a long time to get rid of it. But, you know, you can't look at your life that way. God saved you, and God, everything that happened to you, God can use to build your life and build you into the kind of person he wants you to build. So don't second guess God and say, why did this happen to me, or so forth. He's building you the way he wants you to be, and everything that's happened to you, he's using to make you what he wants you to be. So the eagle chooses the materials for the nest very carefully, and he also then it says in the next thing it says is that he stirreth up her nest. Now eagles were born to do what? They're born to do one thing predominantly, and that's to fly. But did you know that eagles have to learn to fly? They actually have to learn. They have all the equipment, but they actually have to learn to fly. And guess how they learn how to fly? By watching mother and father. And the eagles come in and they feed those little eaglets and take care of them. And they fly by the nest. As they get closer and closer to flying, they fly by the nest, give them the idea that, you know, this is wonderful to fly. You ought to try this sometime. And then they'll go to the edge of the nest, and they'll sit on the nest, and they'll flutter over the nest with their wings like this as they're feeding them, and actually creating updraft in the nest. And the eaglets, if they put their wings out, that updraft will actually lift them up a little bit, and they get the idea that this is kind of fun, you know, to be lifted up in the air, and they pull their wings out. And just all kinds of little stuff that they do to prepare them for flight. Because that's what an eagle was born to do, was to fly and to soar. And so they do all these things. And by the way, going back to the last thing I just mentioned about the things that's happened in our life, you know, if you take a recipe of something that you really like, maybe one of your favorite recipes, you take all the ingredients and you lay them out on the counter and you eat each of those ingredients separately, they probably won't taste too good. You know, but when you ingredients in the pot or wherever you're going to put it and make your recipe and it comes out the other side, it tastes pretty good, doesn't it? When you put everything in there and it comes out, that's kind of what our life is like. God puts all these things into our life, and then when he's done with it, it's beautiful. But it isn't so beautiful sometimes as we're going through those individual ingredients and eating them, so forth. Now, so the eagle fluttereth over the nest to kind of teach the child how to, the eaglet how to fly. She flies around, helps him get the idea. But another thing I want to mention here is that eaglets never learn to fly by watching other eaglets. Think about that now. Because what do they do in the nest? They just sit there in the nest and go like this. You know, and caw-haw and want to be fed. That's all they do is sit there and flap their wings with their mouth open. And they could do that all, you know, they conceivably could do that just about forever. But eventually what happens? She says, I'm not doing this anymore. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that never really get out of the nest. Now we're talking about some truths here that are very serious. Christianity is very shallow today. And there's a lot of Christians that are like eaglets that never even get out of the nest. They never learn to fly. They sit in the nest, and they sit there and flap their wings, and they look like, boy, this is great. We're flapping our wings. You know, we're eating. We're flapping our wings. But they're not getting out of the nest. They're not moving. And then, of course, there's other eaglets that barely learn how to fly, but they never learn how to get any prey. And for sure, they never learn how to soar. Here's a good verse. Deuteronomy 33:27. Listen to this. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Eagle bears them up under their wings. Look at that phrase there. She spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. She prepares the nest. She teaches them, gives them the idea how to fly, and then she bears them on her wings. When they get to the edge of that nest, whether they fall out by accident or just get brave and launch out into the end of the deep, so to speak, when they launch out, those mothers or fathers or whoever's there watching them, watch them very, very carefully. And most people that have studied eagles say that very seldom does an eagle ever die trying to fly, because if they do not quite make it, what happens? The adult swoops down, no problem at all, and takes that eagle up, picks it up or sweeps underneath it, whatever. I'm not exactly sure how it's done, but they probably have various ways. But when you watch an eagle in the air, that's no problem at all. They are absolutely acrobats in the air. And so it says here that he bears them up on their wings. I'm not sure if any eaglets have ever died, but one thing I do know is that nobody who has ever been saved has ever lost their salvation. That's a fact. The Bible tells us that. God has us in his hand. He's not going to let go of us, and he bears us up in his wings. So, they learn to fly. Then they have to learn to, after they learn to fly, they have to learn to catch prey. But they can't do that until they learn to soar. This is an interesting thing. Isaiah 40 says this, 29-31. Most of you have heard this verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the things that eagles learn how to do, if they're really want to get to the place where they're mature and successful, is they learn to soar. And that is an interesting phenomenon. Years ago, I did some flying. You learn very quickly that if you're flying over a field that's just been plowed in the summertime, you're going to have up currents, you're going to have updrafts. And they're pretty powerful. They can really lift you. You can climb really fast in that kind of an atmosphere because the heat radiating off the earth just goes up. It's amazing. It just can lift you right up in the air. But there's also other things that happen that you got to be careful about. One time when I took off from Feltz Field down here, I was flying down south to Lewiston or someplace like that, and I flew out over the Dishman Hills, got up and just headed over the Dishman Hills. And one of the things that you got to remember when you're flying is that you always have to stay at least 1,000 feet above a ridge when you go over it. And I was a little careless that day, and I had one of my kids with me. I've told this story before. Some of you have heard it. But we were starting to head over the Dishman Hills, and all of a sudden a downdraft hit us. And I mean, it just poof, like that. Everything went up and hit the ceiling. Our heads went up and hit the ceiling. And, you know, you whoop up and back down, you know. And we were high enough to where we didn't hit anything. But the point is, you know, you got to be careful when you get up that high. You observe the rules of flight. And the same thing applies, you know, to birds as far as dangers and things like that. There's always danger when you get up in the air. And it says, liking this to spiritual warfare, I think it's interesting, Ephesians, it says this, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you soar as a Christian, you begin to get successful, and you begin to do things with the Lord, and God begins to do things through you. You become a target. You become a target. Ephesians 2:2 also says this, according to the prince of the power of the air. I think it's interesting that God likens it that the powers that we face a lot of times are up there, they're in the air, they're all around us. And so as you begin to soar in your Christian life and grow as you should, you're going to find opposition, you're going to be attacked. So the eagle learns to soar in the air. And one of the things about soaring in the air is that you don't use any energy. You know, if you watch an eagle or a big hawk in the air, and they get up in the circle flights that they do, they very seldom ever flap their wings. Everything is, they're riding the thermals. And they get higher and higher and higher and higher. And as they get higher, what happens? We already talked about their sight. They can see bigger and broader areas. They can see a little mouse on the ground from way up there, see his every movement. And so they reserve their energy, and when they attack, what happens when they get in that mode? They can move so fast, they can gather so much speed as they come down. And you've ever watched an eagle or a hawk dive? Incredible speed they get before they hit the ground. And so they get their prey because they move so quickly that it can overtake them before they can get away. So this is why they learn to soar. And, you know, there's just a lot of analogies here you can think about in the Christian life. When you're, as a Christian, as you learn to soar on God's power and use God's power, instead of using your own energy, you can get to a place where you can get a lot done for the Lord. Not because of your effort, but because you've learned to catch those updrafts. You've learned to walk in the power and the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this before. So important that we learn to walk in the Spirit of the Lord and to do things in His power and might, not in our power and might. And also, you know, as you get up in those heights, those lofty heights, where the air gets a little thin, look at the perspective you have. You know, look at the perspective you have. You can see a long ways and you can see a lot. That's one of the things that amazes me when you're flying in a light plane and you fly over even a familiar area. You see things you didn't even know was there. There's lakes, little ponds and stuff you couldn't even see. You never see in your life. But when you get up high and you look down, you can see all those things, those interesting things that were there all the time, but you couldn't see them because you're down here. And you know, somebody that's not a Christian, that's where they live. That's where they live, is on the ground. Unsaved people live on the ground. They have no perspective whatsoever. They can't see anything. There's a lot of Christians that don't get very high, though. They stay pretty low also, and they can't see a whole lot either. That's why it's important to soar. Get up high, where you're designed to be. That's really important. Also, you know, eagles are aggressive animals of prey. They're not defensive. They're animals of prey. And that's why if you watch an eagle or a hawk, a big hawk, that gets very low in an area where there's a lot of other birds and animals, guess what happens? All the in my area, for example, we have just tons of these blackbirds, and if a hawk gets down very low, all these blackbirds take off. What do? They go up there and they pester that hawk. They dive at him. They try to peck him. They try to get him out of there. But when he gets up really high and soars, they don't bother him up there. It's too high. He gets way up there and he can see the whole picture. He can pick whatever he wants to choose from and he can get it. And so there's just a lot of applications here. Somebody said, how can you soar with eagles when you live with turkeys? There's a lot of Christians that live like turkeys. You know, turkeys can fly pretty good, but they never get very high. They never get very high. In fact, they get so low that my dog killed one the other day. I don't think a dog would ever kill an eagle. But she actually killed a turkey. I don't know where she got it. It was a weird thing. But we still have turkey feathers in the yard we haven't picked up yet. We need to get out there and get all that done. But turkeys are multiplying like crazy, but they can't fly very high and they can't soar. And there's a lot of Christians that live like turkeys. And they live among turkeys and they live with turkeys and they wonder why they can never soar like an eagle. Because they're watching each other. You know, there's so many Christians that feel very comfortable in their Christianity. Why? Because they're comparing themselves with other midgets or other turkeys, right? What do we compare ourselves with? We always compare ourselves with the Word of God. This is what we're to be judged by. This is what we need to be our standard. And you'll find that the great saints of God throughout the Bible and throughout your knowledge, the people that you meet in this life that are walk with God and have done things for the Lord and are cheerful and get things done for God are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit who soar like eagles. They're not groveling and down here on the ground walking around like a bunch of turkeys. And by the way, when you see turkeys, there's always a flock of them on the ground, isn't there? Very seldom you see a turkey walking out by himself. But when you see an eagle soaring, they're usually way up there in the stratosphere by themselves, just looking everything over, just enjoying the view, waiting for the right opportunity, riding the thermals of God's air moving up in the sky. And that's a beautiful picture of what we should be like. So the eagles are aggressive birds. Jesus said, I mentioned this before, Jesus said this, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will move through the gates of hell. We move through the defenses of the enemy and attack them. And here's another verse that I'm going to read to you, and you probably never caught this part of it. When I'm going to read this verse, here's what you're going to remember, but here's what you're going to forget. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are what? The everlasting arms. That's what we remember, isn't it? But let's read the verse, rest of the verse. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. So after he says, underneath the everlasting arms, he says, and he, that's God, shall thrust out the enemy before thee and shall say, you destroy them. That's an act of aggression. The Christian life is an act of aggression. It's an act of obedience, and you know, we talked about the eagle fluttering and getting the nest all kind of stirred up, stirring up the nest, trying to get the eagle uncomfortable in the nest so that it will want to fly. Sometimes God does bring things into our life that's uncomfortable so that we'll want to get out of that nest and learn to fly and soar like we should and be on the offense. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and look at a couple other things here before we close out. Oh, I know one thing I want to mention about the eagles stirring up the nest a little bit. You know, one of the reasons we have revival is because God can stir the nest a little bit during revival. He can make it a little more uncomfortable to stay where we are and prod us to move on to higher things. Some of you are Some of you are getting involved in door-to-door knocking, door knocking. And that's a little uncomfortable for you to think about that. That's just one phase of something that you can do for the Lord. And as you think about that, it's like God stirring the nest a little bit. Get out of the nest. Try this. Reach out for people. Not just door knocking, but be evangelistic. Leave that comfortable nest and get out there and confront people. Ask people. Love them enough to speak to them. Excuse me. Talk to them. And that's important. But notice what it says here in verse 13, or starting verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead them. Now he's comparing the eagle in verse 11, as an eagle, verse 11, verse 12, so the Lord. As an eagle, so the Lord did lead them. There was no strange God with them. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat and increase the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. When you're soaring like you should be, following the Lord in his power and strength, and you're soaring like you should be, you can suck honey out of rocks. That's a pretty graphic illustration, isn't it? You can suck honey out of rocks. Now, honey is probably one of the most perfect foods that God makes. I eat a lot of honey. Do you? It's good for you. Honey's really good for you in so many ways. And the illustration here, you know, you can suck honey out of rocks. What's honey a picture of? Well, it's a picture of a lot of things. Sustenance, having a cheerful disposition, having a sweet spirit. These are the things that God builds into his saints when they learn to soar as eagles. They can suck honey on rocks. What else can they do? By the way, Psalms 103 verse 5 says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Let me read that again. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles." You can suck honey out of a rock if you can soar like an eagle. What else can you do? You can get oil out of flinty rocks. And oil out of the flinty rock, into verse 13 there. Oil. Oil is a valuable commodity. We always think of oil, in our culture, we think of oil in the terms of petroleum and that sort of thing, and that's a pretty valuable commodity. If without that, our whole economy shuts down, doesn't it? I'm so glad that the prices of gas and stuff have come down a little bit in the last few months. Cost me a lot of money. It used to cost me over $150 to fill my truck up. That's terrible. My wife and I were just noticing tonight, for the first time in a long time, the price of diesel is cheaper than regular gasoline by 2 cents. It's amazing. I told you, it won't stay that very long. It'll probably move up real fast, but it's nice to have things down there. But when these people thought about oil, it was a little different. They didn't have petroleum. They have cars and all that kind of stuff. They thought of oil for cooking. They thought of oil for lamps. They thought of oil for what else? Many, many things. It was a commodity that they really, really valued. And so he says that not only can you suck honey out of the rock, but you can get oil out of the flinty rock. It's amazing what God can do in a Christian's life when they get right with God and they give themselves wholly over to him, and they begin to get on those updrafts and soar like eagles. God can do so many wonderful, wonderful things. And he does. And that's the joy of the Christian life, the successful Christian life. He goes on to talk about butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of the lambs. Now this is not prosperity gospel. This is talking in spiritual as well as physical terms. God can make you a successful, satisfied Christian that doesn't need anything else but the Lord. Plentiful crops, grape juice. Plentiful grape juice, drink the blood of the grape, grape juice, pure blood of the grape. So all these things are beautiful, beautiful pictures of what God wants our life to be like as we think about soaring as an eagle. But before I make the last point, let me just say this. We've talked about the turkey versus the eagle. There's also another little bird that is kind of a good comparison to the eagle, and that's a sparrow, the lowly sparrow. God says that, you know, not a sparrow falls to the ground without him noticing it. But a sparrow compared to an eagle is a pretty, there's a lot of space between a sparrow and an eagle. There's a lot of difference between a sparrow and an eagle. And there again, an unsaved person is never really gets off the ground much, lives like a sparrow. And a lot of Christians, unfortunately, live like a sparrow, and when we should be living like eagles. The last thing I want to mention is verse 12. Let's go back. I think it's Exodus. Go back to Exodus. No. Just a minute here. Where is it? Maybe it's Exodus. Find it here in a minute. No, it's not there. I'm looking for the verse where it says no strange... there it is, verse 12. It was verse 12. 32:12. Deuteronomy 32:12. I had the right reference. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. This is the one big if, the one big condition, soar like an eagle, is you can't have any strange God. And of course, that was Israel's downfall, wasn't it? They got intermingled with the cultures around them, and eventually those cultures brought them down to the level of turkeys and sparrows, and they didn't soar anymore like eagles, and they weren't blessed of God. And so, you know, the one thing he mentions here is that even though they did all these things for him, the reason he did it for him is because there was no strange God with them. They were said their eyes and affections set on the Lord, and God was taking care of them. And when they took their eyes off of the Lord and started intermingling with the nations, started living with the turkeys around them, they forgot they no longer were able to soar with the eagles. A turkey has absolutely no ability to soar. All it can do is mostly spend most of its time walking on the ground, and once in a while, if it gets scared, it'll fly. But it doesn't fly very high and very far because it's a turkey. And so I think that's just a powerful, powerful verse there. The Lord did these things for him because there was no strange God with him. To just say this as your pastor here this evening, that, you know, all of us as Christians can soar to heights that we never dreamed of in God's power and strength if we have no strange gods. And I think today there's so many strange gods around us. We're a lot more temptation now than there used to be when I was growing up and years beyond that. There's just so many temptations, so hard to be focused on the Lord. Let him be your strength and power and might. But it's absolutely, absolutely essential if we're going to soar like an eagle. Now, I don't think there's a whole lot of Christians. I'm talking about all of Christianity now. I don't think there's a whole lot of Christians that's learned to soar. Most of them live pretty close to the ground because they're watching each other in the nest. They're not getting out of the nest. And so one of the things we try to do here at Spokane Baptist Church is challenge you, you know, to leave the nest, to find God's power and strength. And I'm not just talking about evangelism. I'm talking about discipleship. I'm talking about winning our relatives, our loved ones, living a consistent Christian life in the home, husband and wife loving each other like they should, having the roles the way they should. These are all part of the successful Christian life. And God will help us, and God will... will show us how to soar if we have no other gods and we learn to rest solely upon him and be solely given over to him and his strength and power. That's my prayer for you. And, you know, I don't know how high an eagle can soar. I really don't. But I've seen some that have gotten so high that you can hardly see them anymore. I suppose it depends on the thermals, how high they go up. And maybe how how thin the air gets up there. I don't know exactly what the limits of their elevation can be, but some of those eagles can get awful high to where you can hardly see them. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to learn to get up there as high as we can get on His strength, His power. And so that's a good picture, isn't it? Eagles, God bore us on eagle's wings. It's better to be on His wings than sitting in a nest.